The Lord has just blessed us wonderfully. And I pray that God will help us in this service this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Let's stand for the reading of the word. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You may be seated. I would like to speak to you this morning by the help of the Lord on the question asked in verse 37 of my text by those who heard and saw what was going on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do? That is my message this morning. What shall we do? This question was posed by people who were pricked in their hearts, the Bible says. They asked this question in anguish of spirit. They were guilty of a heinous crime. And they desperately desired relief from the guilt of their conscience. And they asked this question in deep anguish of spirit, What must we do? And Peter had a ready answer for them. He said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Three things I want to call your attention to in my text. First of all, the reason for the question. Secondly, the answer to the question. And thirdly, the response of the questioners. So we'll deal first of all with the reason for the question. This was the day of Pentecost. One of three major festivals in the Jewish calendar, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, being the three major festivals of the Jewish religious calendar. All three of those festivals brought a throng of visitors into Jerusalem because all the males were required to come to Jerusalem at those three times in the year if they could travel to get there. And so at those times of the year, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, there was a multitude of people in Jerusalem. This particular year, just about 7 weeks before, Passover had been held. And this was the time that Jesus had been crucified. Multitudes were in Jerusalem. Now then, 50 days later, it's Pentecost. Multitudes are in Jerusalem. And on this occasion, the Bible tells us that something marvelous happened to a group of people, 120 of them, gathered in the upper room, waiting for the promise of the Father. God filled them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So that while the Jews were celebrating their feast of Pentecost, God was doing a new work in the upper room, filling 120 believers with the Holy Ghost and fire. There were three marvelous signs that occurred when God filled them with the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It tells us that there were tongues of fire that sat upon each of them. And it tells us that they all spake with tongues, other tongues, foreign tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, the phenomenon associated with this marvelous work of God brought the crowd who had come to Jerusalem, brought them to where these disciples were, speaking in other tongues, languages they'd never learned, a miracle from heaven. And the multitudes gathered around to see this strange phenomenon. While they were there, they asked the question, "What does this mean?" And Peter stood up, and he began to preach to these people about the meaning of this blessing at Pentecost. In his message, Peter accused this crowd of being the ones to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. But he informed them that God raised him from the dead. "You crucified the Lord. God reversed your action and brought him out of the grave. You condemned him. God approved of him." So that you were fighting against God. God brought him out of the grave. Not only did he bring him out of the grave, he said he has made him both Lord and Christ. In other words, this man Jesus is the Lord from heaven. He is God in flesh, and he's the Christ, the promised Messiah, the one you've been looking for ages, and promised by the Old Testament prophets. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. And you crucified him. Can you imagine the realization that dawned upon the minds of these people when they realized they had crucified the Lord of glory? They had put to death and slain God in the flesh. And can you imagine the guilt that was upon their conscience when they realized that they had put to death the Messiah, the one they'd been waiting for all of these centuries? They were guilty of the blood of the Son of God. Can you imagine their guilt? And so under this anguish of spirit, realizing what they had done to God, and realizing that they had fought, they had unsheathed their sword against God Himself, they cried out in their anguish, "What must we do? What must we do?" You know, this is what bothers me when time goes on and nobody's asking any questions. Nobody's saying, "What must I do?" You remember this was a question that was asked by the Philippian jailer when God shook the doors of the prison open and set the prisoners free. Paul and Silas were in that prison, and this prison guard came out there and said, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, it takes the power of the Holy Ghost to make a man realize the guilt of his sins and put anguish in his spirit, a question in his heart, "What must I do to get rid of this guilt of sin? What must we do?" they cried. And here, secondly, we see the answer that Peter gave to them. He said to them, first of all, repent. This is the first step. If you want to get right with God, repent. Repentance is a turning away from sin. It's a turning to God. It's a change of mind that results in a change of behavior. It's a change of attitude toward the Son of God. When he said to them, repent, he was saying to those people who had crucified the Lord of glory, change your mind about Jesus. You crucified him. Now you must believe on him. You must become followers of him that you crucified. You must change your mind about Jesus. These people were hostile toward Christ. In their past, they had crucified the Lamb of God, and now then they must change their mind about Jesus. And I'm telling you, nobody ever did. They changed their mind about Jesus. The reason that people go to hell is because they reject the Son of God. It ain't because they're lying, cheating, smoking, gambling, going to the taverns. That's not why they're going to hell. They're going to hell because they've rejected the Son of God. Listen, brother, the root of sin is that we've rejected the Son of God. Hell belongs to those people who have rejected the Son of God. Here is where hell is. It is at the end of a Christ-rejecting life.
and people sin because they reject Jesus. Here is what we must do. We must change our mind about Jesus Christ. Whereas before, we may have held hostile thoughts toward Him. Whereas before, He may have just been, you know, an interesting fellow in history. Whereas before, He may have been somebody who was a nuisance to us. His demands were a nuisance. His teachings were a nuisance. We shoved Him out of our life. But we have to change our mind about Jesus. We have to change our mind to such an extent that we bring ourselves under the dominion and lordship of Jesus Christ and accept His Word and become His follower. That was what Peter was demanding out of these people. You must change your mind about Jesus Christ. You crucified Him. God approved of Him. Draw Him out of the grave. You must think about Him like God thinks about Him. God approved Him. So you must repent. Not only must you repent, He said you must be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, I want you to get an idea about what this being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ means. If you're reading your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it speaks about the children of Israel being baptized in the cloud and in the sea. Baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So that the baptism of the children of Israel in the Old Testament signified their acceptance of the leadership of Moses, their acceptance of the teachings of Moses. So they were followers of Moses, baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. If you're reading Acts chapter 19, Paul goes to Ephesus and finds certain disciples. He asks them the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They say, we have not so much as heard whether that be any Holy Ghost. And Paul says to them, under what then were you baptized? They said, under John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized unto repentance, saying that we should believe on Him which had come after him, even Jesus Christ. So John's baptism was a baptism that signified repentance of sin. It was a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism that signified that you were a follower, a disciple of John the Baptist, a believer and a follower of what he taught. You were baptized under John's baptism. But now then we read about a baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. This baptism signifies that that person who receives this baptism, and remember who he's talking to now, he's talking to people who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected Him, hated Him, crucified Him, and now Peter is saying to them, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not being baptized unto Moses. You're not being baptized unto John the Baptist. You're being baptized unto Jesus Christ. You're being baptized in His name, which signifies that you are accepting the person and work of Jesus Christ and submitting yourself to the teachings of Jesus Christ and agreeing to become a follower of Jesus Christ. That is what it means to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that does not mean that we simply baptize only in Jesus' name, as oneness people say. For the Bible tells us, I want you to get this pattern now. Get this pattern. In the great commission that Christ gave unto us, He said, I want you to go teach all nations. And that literally means go make disciples of all nations. Go point men to Jesus Christ. Let them see that Jesus Christ is a forgiver of sin. Not only is He a forgiver of sin, but He must be the Lord of your life. You've got to follow Him. Go make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them, this is the second step, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the formula that Jesus gave us. We baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, baptizing them unto Jesus Christ. so that when they come out of that water, they have signified by that water, I've accepted Jesus, I've accepted His Lordship, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, we are baptized unto Jesus, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That is what it means to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I've accepted His teachings. I've accepted His gospel. I've accepted His person. I've accepted His work. And my life is not my own. He is the Lord of my life. Baptized in Jesus' name to follow the Son of God. Jesus, that was what Peter said to them. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized. You signify I'm a disciple of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did anybody get that? And would anybody say amen?
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, I like this. You know, it really means something to be baptized in water. It really does. It really indicates a sanctified heart, attitude, disposition, and life. When a person goes in that water and is baptized unto Jesus Christ to become a follower of Him, to submit to His Lordship, to agree to follow His teachings, that's amazing, brother. It's wonderful. There's something significant about that. And then He said to them, you follow these instructions, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What is this promise He's talking about? The promise is unto you, to your children. It is the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said to them just prior to this in the book of Acts chapter 2 here in this same chapter in verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear, the promise of the Holy Ghost. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. If you look back in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, being assembled together with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, He ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then Peter said to them, preaching to them in Acts chapter 2, in verse 16, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Here's the promise of God. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall see dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, he says. So we understand from these passages of Scriptures that the promise that Jesus or Peter is mentioning there, the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, that promise is a promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost to you. The same gift they received on the day of Pentecost when they were all together in one accord and God baptized them in the Holy Ghost, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now get this. This was something that Jesus experienced in His own life when He come out of from obscurity, went to the banks of the Jordan. John baptized Him in the river of Jordan. And as He baptized Him in the river of Jordan, the Spirit of God descended upon Him in the form of a dove. And the Bible tells us that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, and He went about doing good. So right there at His baptism, God initiated Jesus into His public ministry by anointing Him with the Holy Ghost from heaven. He did not enter into His public ministry until the Spirit of God descended upon Him. And now then the church is poised to begin the mission that Christ has given to them, to go and preach the gospel to the whole world. But before they go, He said, go to the upper room, tarry until you be endued with power from on high. This will initiate them into the ministry that God has given them to do. God will fill them with the Holy Ghost, endue them with power, and send them out into the world to do the work of God. And now then, this promise is said to be unto them, to their children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, he says. Oh, what a promise. And this promise given to them, their children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you've been called, guess what? Guess what? If you've been called, guess what? The promise is unto you. Hallelujah. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, this is the answer. What must we do? Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. Accept the teachings of Christ. Become a follower of the Son of God. Be a sanctified vessel. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost and give you the promise that descended upon Christ and upon the 120 in the upper room. It will be the same thing for you. God will endue you with power from on high. Oh, that God would help us. Look at the response of the questioners when they heard this word from Peter. The Bible says they gladly received his word. These people who were such anguish of spirit, but now they've heard good news and they receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and they receive it with gladness of heart. These people who are crying in anguish of spirit, what must that we do? Now they're receiving the word of God with gladness and joy in their heart. Here's the reason why many people never know joy is because they never submit to the word of God. But these people hear the word of God and they submit to the word of God with gladness and with joy. They repent of their sins. They're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that there's a proof, this instant proof that these people have received the word of God. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, because there's evidence, immediate evidence in their life that these people have accepted to follow Jesus Christ, and it's demonstrated by their actions that they become followers of the doctrine of the apostles, the teachings of the apostles. They become men and women of prayer. They break bread. And they celebrate the Lord's Supper. And they enjoy fellowship in the church of Jesus Christ. So there's evidence that they have received the word of God. Now the Bible does not tell us this. It is silent on this point. I would not be surprised if those 3,000 did not receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost that very day and speak with other tongues just like the 120 did in the upper room, and God baptized them and filled them with the Holy Ghost because they met the conditions on the spot. I'm telling you, you don't have to wait years until God fills you with the Holy Ghost. You hear me? You don't have to wait for years. No, no, no. Hey, Brother Dewey, it was a blessing to my soul, brother, when God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Right here. I mean, we heard it right here in the front of this church how God blessed him with the Holy Ghost. Just saved. Just come out of sin. Just come into the light of the truth. And you don't have to wait years for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Accept the truth and accept the Word of God. Yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. He said, I want you to be endued with power from on high. That means clothed with power. Endued means clothed with power. One man said, that's one reason we don't want it. It clothes us and hides us. So we're not seen. And that's one reason we don't want it. Because we want to be seen. Don't somebody think we're really something. But he said, I want you to be clothed with the power of God. Endued with power. Clothed with power. Hallelujah. Oh, they responded. Now listen. Just before these people responded, Peter said to them, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That word untoward means crooked, perverse, warped in that thinking generation. Save yourselves from them. Because you see, while Peter was preaching to these people, while Peter was telling them the meaning of Pentecost, the Bible tells us that there were different responses in that multitude that came to hear and see what God was doing. The Bible says concerning some of them that they were amazed when they saw what God was doing. There was something in their mind that said, this is marvelous. This is amazing. And they knew that something supernatural was taking place. And they were open to what God had for them. On the other hand, there were some that the Bible says they doubted. They looked on what God was doing. They sort of thought in their hearts and minds, can't be nothing to that. And then on the other hand, there were those that the Bible says they mocked. And they said, these men are full of new wine. They're drunk. That's what's wrong with them. They're drunk. And they mocked the people of God full of the Holy Ghost. So it was in that context that Peter spoke to them and said to them, save yourselves from this untoward generation. There are going to be people who will do their best to discourage you from receiving what God has for you. There will be people who will mock and say, that's not of God. There will be people who will mock and say, hey, that's of the devil. But I'm telling you, God has some wonderful things in store for you if you'll save yourself from a generation that rejects the blessings of God and say, God, I want your blessings. I want to be used of you. I want to be filled with your power. I want to be endued with power from on high. I'll take the blessings of God. Let the world go by, but give me Jesus. And I want to do the will of God in my life. And I want to win souls for Jesus Christ. And I want to be an instrument in the hands of God, a testimony for Him. And the Bible says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm going to give you power, God said. Brother, I wish God would help us to get a thirst for the power of God in our lives and say, God, I believe the promise of God. I want to be endued with power from on high. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be able to pray under the unction and anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want to be able to preach with the unction and anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want to be able to testify with the unction and anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I want to be able to persuade people through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the anointing of God upon our life. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Those who would point you away from the promises of God. Those who would say to you, it's not important for you to receive the promises of God. He says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That doubting and mocking crowd. You go for the blessings of God. And they did. And no matter what others were doing around them, those people still mocking, they didn't pay any attention to them. They gladly received the word of God. And God blessed them, incorporated them into the church of Jesus Christ, and made them a blessing. And He will in your life as well. God will bless you and make you a blessing if you receive the word of God. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive the promise of God. God will bless you and make you a blessing to a lost and dying world. You know, they used to tell us when I was growing up, let God know you're a candidate for His blessing. Let God know that you want His blessings. Let God know that you're concerned to have His blessings. I don't believe God has decided all at once that He's not going to pour out His Spirit anymore. For the Bible says, it's the promise of God, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Are we in the last days? Are these the last days? Is the promise of God still real? In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see, have visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams upon my sons, my daughters.
upon my handmaidens, my servants. I'm going to pour out of my spirit in those days, saith God. Hey, listen, brother and sister. Let's don't stop short of what God has for us. Let's press into the blessings of God. Some of these young people have been seeking the Lord around the altar to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't stop short. Don't say, well, God, I've got all I want, and I'll just do without the rest. No, God wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What must we do? Here's the starting point. Repent. If you've not repented of sin, you've got to repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God will endue you with power from on high. I'm going to do this a little differently this morning. Just if you to come to the piano. I tell you, the Holy Ghost has been working in this place.
Yes, He has.
He's been working in lives in this church. He's been convicting of sin. We've been seeing souls saved. Mm-hmm. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. If there's sin in your life, it will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. If you're walking in rebellion against Him, it will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Not only will you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, not only will you strain your relationship with Him, but in continued disobedience, you will sever your relationship with God over time. If you continue in rebellion against Him, God wants us to be submitted to His Word. God wants us to have an interest in His promise. The promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I want to give an altar call this morning. First of all, I want to ask this question. Is there anybody in this congregation this morning that you are aware through the Word of God, through the working of the Spirit of God, you are aware, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I've got to face God, the judge of all. I'm on my way to hell. I'm going to spend eternity in hell unless I change my direction. If the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart and you realize that you're lost and like these people on your way to hell, crying out, what must we do? If you're here this morning and you're lost and you know it and you want to be saved, I promise you, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God wants to save you not next week, not next year. He wants to save you right now in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to invite you first. While every head is bowed, I'm going to invite you first. If you're here lost without Jesus, I want you to come to this altar. Give God your heart. Let Jesus save you this morning. Oh, there's a Savior for you. Somebody that cares more for you than you realize. Died on the cross for your sins. Is there anybody here that's interested? Getting rid of the guilt of sin this morning. You've lived under a load. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there anybody here that needs rest for their soul this morning? There's nobody here that needs rest for their soul. Nobody asking questions. I want us to pray, saints of God, that God will help us as a church to see the Lord work in such a way that people start asking questions again. What must we do? If there's a soul here this morning, you need the sanctifying, cleansing, application of the blood of Christ. The altar is open for you, and Christ will cleanse you. and sanctified you. Not only does He take us out of the world, He takes the world out of us. Gives us a heart that's clean and pure and holy before Him. We can say along with Jesus, Satan's come, but he has nothing in me. My heart is clean. My heart is pure. Anybody interested stepping out this morning? All right. I'll ask you this question. Is there anybody here in this service who can say, my heart is clean? As far as I know, I'm walking in obedience to God, living a life that's sanctified unto God. As far as I know, I've yielded to God. My members, my ears, my eyes, my heart, my emotions. I've yielded them to God. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you come up here this morning, we'll pray for you for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost this morning. The promises unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If there's anybody in this service, you can say, my heart is clean. My life is yielded. Jesus is my Lord. I'm walking as a disciple of His. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody in this service right now that you'd step out and come to this altar? Say, yes, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Come up. He wants to be full of the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody else while we wait just a moment? All right. I ask you this. If you're here in this service this morning and you know what God wants to do in this life, you're concerned about it happening in these lives, would you come and help us pray? Kyle and Lord, God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. It is a promise from Him, a gift from God. Would you come and help us pray for them this morning that God will fill them?